Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Switchcraft is brought to you by Rock Roberge. Support Switchcraft and my other content for as little as a dollar and get exclusive rewards at patreon.com/run-jump-stomp. Episode 165 of Switchcraft is brought to you by OP Seat. Head on over to runjumpstomp.com/OP Seat to directly support the show and get a fantastic gaming chair that can support you. I'm sitting in one right now. I am a big fan of these chairs. They got very good lumbar support, and it really feels more like a car seat than it does a desk chair. So again, that's runjumpstomp.com/OP seat. Okie dokie. Switchcraft is recorded live three times a week on Tuesday, Thursday at 3 p.m. U.S. Eastern, and on Saturday whenever I can get to it. Tune in live over at twitch.tv/runjumpstomp. Once you are there, you will be greeted by awesome people. People like Bravd, SnowGoesHam, Vaxxer, Aerslia, Link31254, Mikey B. Playing, ResTV, Royal Leo Wolf, Nintendork2012, Shubru, Super 80s, TF Wagner, and of course the Lurkers. Thank you guys for hanging out with me while I record the show. Let's get to feedback real quick. If you want to email me, you can do so at runjumpstomp@gmail.com. And Johnny P actually sent me an email. They said, "Hey RJS, I will save you from shamelessly promoting your wife's Etsy shop." All right. Well, first off, the reason he's writing in is because last episode I talked about my wife's Etsy shop a bunch at the end, and he is saying that he can do a better job than I can. And I agree with him. He totally can. He says, "I am more than 100% satisfied. I have an awesome dock sock for months now, and I still love it. It is the best Switch accessory I own. P.S. I even had a slight custom request. No problem. I just let them know what I wanted, and they made it happen. So thanks again for the sock, Johnny P." So thank you very much, Johnny P. If you want to email me, like I said, runjumpstomp@gmail.com. If you want to tweet at me, that's at runjumpstomp. If you want to join our Discord, head on over to runjumpstomp.com/Discord, or you can call and leave a voicemail at 260-RUN-JUMP. That's 260-786-5867. And of course, come to the live stream, and you can talk to us right there at twitch.tv/RUN-JUMP-STOMP. Well, this is via Reddit, and somebody has posted that the Switch is... it's not USB-C compliant. So what that means is that the Switch is overdrawing some USB power supplies by like 300%, which is a really, really large number. And the reason for this, let me rephrase. I think the reason why Nintendo decided to do this is because they want the Switch to be able to charge pretty quickly. And I've used it, and it really does charge pretty fast. But basically, the USB-C protocols and the Switch don't, quote-unquote, play nice with some third-party products. And some people are saying that this is the reason why some third-party docks have been bricking the Switch. Now, I have been using my... portable charger for the Switch. I don't use it often, but I haven't run any issues with it. But that makes me a little nervous, you know, the fact that it's not playing nice. Now, one of the things that I did some research when I picked out my portable, my battery, was that I wanted to make absolutely sure that it was something that would read, it would say, okay, this is how much it's allowed to draw, only give this much, because some devices will pull more power than others. And if you have it pushing more power than the device can take, that could cause problems to it. And so some batteries will be smart about it, and they will only push as much power as the device will actually use. Now, one thing that I will say is that when charging my Switch, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe I've always used the USB-C cable that came with my Switch or that came with my battery. I didn't go to the store and buy like a cheap, crappy one. So maybe that's why I haven't had any problems, but Nintendo has actually commented on why some third-party docks have been bricking systems. Nintendo says they recommend that Switch owners only buy officially licensed Switch products. Unlicensed products and accessories do not undergo Nintendo's testing and evaluation process. They might not work at all with our game systems, and they could have compatibility problems with certain games or systems. The Nintendo Switch itself and other licensed accessories and peripherals. Then Nyko, who is a third-party accessory maker, they said Nyko is aware of the issue on the portable docking kit. They're the ones that actually make the ones that the one that has been quote-unquote bricking systems. They said they are aware of the issue with the portable docking kit owners are facing after updating the firmware on their Nintendo Switch to 5.0. Though further testing is still required to determine the exact root cause of the problem, we believe it is related to the way with which Switch handles AV output for an external TV / monitor while the console is docked on the portable docking kit. So this is what this means to me. I'm guessing, and I'm not an engineer, I don't know anything about this stuff, but my guess, my gut reaction after reading that is that the reason why me charging my Switch with the that battery, and I've not run into any issues, is because it's not doing anything with AV or audio video. It's only charging the Switch. It's not trying to pass through that information at all anywhere. But this portable dock, now that is something that you hook into the TV and it acts as an HDMI pass-through so that the you use USB on the bottom of your Switch and that both charges your Switch as well as passes the audio video back through and acts as a USB port. So perhaps there's something when it's doing all of those things, the Switch just isn't set up to, or not the Switch, but the portable dock just isn't set up to handle that the right way. And there's really no way for us to know until we get, until we get more information from either Nyko or Nintendo. Now, the fact that Nintendo has said our official comment is we recommend only use Nintendo stuff, we're not going to hear from Nintendo again on this on this topic. I don't see this us hearing from them again. I'm sure that we'll hear from Nyko again because they have a dog in this race. They need to get this fixed. Otherwise, it's going to hurt. I don't know if they're a publicly traded company, but it'll hurt their stock price, I'm sure. It'll hurt their PR, and people will be very wary of picking up their items. And we don't know if it's their fault or Nintendo's fault. Nintendo certainly isn't going to tell anybody. But for now, I would recommend you just be really wary and if you're going to use a portable charger, I mean, I don't know that I'm going to stop using my portable charger because I haven't run into any issues. But if you are on the fence, don't do what I do. You know, you got to listen to your own. I'm not responsible if you use a portable charger and your Switch bricks, especially since we don't have cloud saves. Nintendo, how about we get a comment about cloud saves? Am I right? Here's a quote from somebody at Square Enix. They said, at the moment, we are looking at the potential for taking some, one or two, of the games we released previously and actually bringing them to a Switch, to the Switch. It's really just a case of talking to the developers and finding out what they want to do. Not everybody wants to put time into that. There's a lot of cases where they've moved on to other projects and so on. So I think that for the games that we're releasing next, there are no new plans for Switch games. But what I can say is that I expect certainly one of the games released in 2017 to appear on the Switch before the end of this year for sure. and possibly more. We're always sort of talking to developers and sort of seeing what they want to do. And if they think there's an opportunity there, is it something we can help with? So yeah, there's still some conversations going. All right, so fine. Square Enix is talking about games that have come out in 2017, one of them coming to the Switch. And I'm not going to sit here and speculate about which one it's going to be. What I will say is this, is they make some pretty good points here, things that I never really thought of before. The fact that a developer has finished work on a game and now they're moved on to start working on something else, that would mean that they would have to take whatever project they're currently working on and put it on hold in order to go back and port something to the Switch that people are asking for. And yes, people are asking for it, and that's great. But at the same time, even though people are asking for it, doesn't mean necessarily that they will definitely buy it. There have been many times where people have said, hey, bring X game to X system, and the developer does, and then it sells like crap because people just want the opportunity to buy something, not necessarily to buy something. The other thing that I want to look at here is they're talking about games that were released previously and bringing them to the Switch. I just hope that if they do, if Square is bringing some games to the Switch and some ports of games to the Switch, what I really hope is that they don't do things like what they've done with Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger being ported to Steam. A lot of people are giving Chrono Trigger really terrible reviews on Steam. And the reason for that is because it is a port of a mobile game to a computer platform. And I personally, this guy right here with the thumbs, I do not want to play a mobile game on my system. I want it to be like it was originally. A really good example of this is where they did it right, I feel, is when they ported to the 3DS Final Fantasy III, I believe. That was a great port. It really was a fantastic port, bringing Final Fantasy III to the 3DS. And I had a lot of fun playing it on that system. It might have been 2DS or just the Nintendo DS. I can't remember which. But I think it would be good to do something like that. But when they do something like where they, like they've done this in the past, especially with Steam, where they take a game where a lot of people have a lot of nostalgia for, and it's been ported to the phone already, and then they just do a sloppy port bringing it to whatever, like Steam, it invariably ticks people off, and it makes people not interested in playing that. And sure, there are some people who buy it, and yes, Square makes money off that, but if they did it right, it could be so much more money. And you know, I look at Final Fantasy VI, the port for Steam. That's terrible. It's really, really terrible. I watched somebody play it, and they took all of the gorgeous sprite work that they've done in the past, and they replaced it with this really, quote unquote high res graphics, but they just don't look very good. And the old blocky graphics looked better. And I just hope that if Square is bringing some old games that have been released on other platforms to the Switch, I hope that they're doing it the right way and not just giving us sloppy ports of mobile games. Well, if you were hoping that Dragon Quest XI was going to be coming to the Switch soon, I've got some very bad news for you. It is going to be arriving, quote unquote, much later than the other versions. This is from Nintendo Life. The quote here is that we are also developing the Switch version for Europe and North America. This is a statement from Square Enix. But development is expected to take a long time from a technological standpoint as well. So we still have a long way to go until its release. So this is the Dragon Quest game that's supposed to be like super pretty. And every time I see footage of it on like PS4 or anything like that, I'm like, man, that looks great. I can't wait to play that game. It sounds like Square is having problems getting it to run correctly on the Switch. They go on to say that the 3DS version, which in Japan was released alongside the PS4 version last July, They said that they're not going to be bringing that to the West at all. They're not going to localize it. So you can't get that game over here. So if you want Dragon Quest on a portable platform, you're going to have to wait for Dragon Quest 11 to come to the Switch, and it's going to take a while before that happens. It sounds like 2019 at the earliest is what it says here. That's not great news, but you know what? I would rather them not rush it and do a good job bringing the game over to the Switch than to rush it and have it be kind of sloppy. For me, I don't want it to come over unless it's great. All right, I've got three quick videos for you guys to watch. The first one is an interview with, and I wish I'd have written down this guy's name because I can't remember it off the top of my head. The first one is an interview with the guy in charge of Splatoon 2. And he's talking about the Octo expansion and a bunch of other stuff about Splatoon, like why they design the characters the way they do and that kind of thing. It's a really interesting video. It's pretty short. Make sure you click on the link in the show notes so you can check it out. It really gets me more excited for the Octo expansion, which I still have to play the single player campaign of Splatoon 2. So I probably won't get that right away, but I'm glad that Nintendo are supporting Splatoon 2 the way that they are. I think they're doing a great job. The second video that I want you to check out, or that you might want to check out, is the trailer for LEGO The Incredibles. This is not something that I expected to see at all. Like, I did not expect to see a Incredibles LEGO game. First off, when I think of the LEGO games, they tend to have like buckets and buckets of characters, just characters as far as the eye can see. I mean, you look at Lord of the Rings, that has a lot of characters in it. You look at the Marvel games or the DC games, and they have a huge amount of characters to pull from. And when I look at The Incredibles, I'm like, all right, so they got the dad and the mom and the three kids. So there's five characters. They got Frozone. Samuel L. Jackson, where's my super suit? That guy. Maybe his wife. I mean, she was just a voice in the game. Then you've got the guy that was played by, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name. He had the red hair. Syndrome, I think was his name. So then you got Syndrome. So that's eight characters. And then probably the little lady that designed their suits. So it's nine characters, and that doesn't seem to me to be enough for a LEGO game, because LEGO games are all about going through and unlocking characters. Now, of course, I haven't seen Incredibles 2, so there could be a whole swath of characters in Incredibles 2, but there's not very much to go on with Incredibles 1, and that's why I didn't expect it. That doesn't mean it's not going to be good, because for me, I don't really care for LEGO games, but I really am a fan of The Incredibles. I think that The Incredibles is a very, very funny, funny movie, and I expect The Incredibles 2 to be probably equally as funny. I mean, Pixar does a good job there. And so I guarantee that this will sell very well. It's a LEGO game. Kids love the LEGO games. A lot of adults love the LEGO games as well. I used to love the LEGO games, but I just kind of got burnt out on them. But the trailer looks really funny. So it's just them building the logo. But overall, I found the trailer of the game to be pretty humorous. So I'll have fun sitting and watching my son play it, although I probably won't play it very much. The last video that I want to point out is actually one of my videos. So a little shilling here. I am hoping that you guys will go and check out my review of Penny Punching Princess for the Nintendo Switch. It's not a full review because I haven't finished the game. In fact, I'm not very far into the game, really, but it's just my initial impressions, what I think of the game so far. And, you know, if you don't want to go watch the video, I'll give you the quick and dirty of it. Overall, I think that the game is fun. Some of the controls can be a little bit frustrating. And let me describe the game real quick. It's a top-down brawler Where you beat up enemies and earn coins, and then you can use those coins to bribe the enemies to fight with you. Basically, they disappear and become an ability that you can use. You can also bribe like traps and fire pits and things like that. And overall, it's a fun game. I will say this, I had more fun playing on it in handheld mode than I did on the TV with my Pro Controller. I felt like the controls were tighter that way. But Penny Punching Princess, it's from NIS. And by the way, this is not an ad. It was a review copy. Overall, I think it's a pretty fun game, and I will be playing more of it. But make sure that you check out the video if you want the full my full extended thoughts on that. I can't believe I almost left this story out. There's two new outfits in Super Mario Odyssey. One is the Satellaview outfit, which is based off this weird thing that used satellite internet, basically, in order to allow you to download games to your Super Nintendo. And there was a commercial. If you go to runjumpstomp.com, and go to the blog, you can see a video of the commercial right there. But in the commercial, Mario is wearing this cool astronaut suit. And then the other outfit that you can get is basically a baseball uniform, which is awesome. So those are now in the game, like fully in the game. I can't believe I almost forgot to talk about this.
Okie dokie.
And that is all the time that we have for today. If there's a story that I missed or a topic that you want discussed, please let me know at one of the ways that I mentioned earlier. If you are looking for ways to support the show, you can head on over to runjumpstomp.com/thank you. All of the links there will help me make more content. But the best way you can do so is just share the show with a friend. If you enjoy it, hit that share button. Let your friends know that this is a podcast that you listen to. And I will see you guys on, is today Thursday? I guess I'll see you guys on Saturday. Special thanks to Tom Winter and Noteblock for the use of the music. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.